Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
The affirmation that God is a covenant-keeping God. That's been spoken to us in our heart. He's a covenant-keeping God. He's come, the Father, the Son, covenanting together to bring a people into fruition. We've heard of reconciliation, both physical and emotional. The enduring love of the Father is so strong, so strong. And so when you look at that, when you look at what God has been saying through different people today, I need to ask simply the question, is it resonating in your heart today that you just need more of that healing and reconciliation and wholeness and fullness and grace and love and covenant power? Guess what? You're in the right place. Because he's come. He's come to do it. See, when we look at the scriptures, I see that hand. Yeah, good on you. Just reach up and get it. Because, see, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at this, last Monday I preached at Women's Aglow Australia.
No, Aglow.
Oh, Glow, is it? Sorry, Aglow. And yes, for men too. And what something that the Lord wrote on my heart that Keith picked up a minute ago was the fact that this is a conundrum. This is something that is wrong. You know, sometimes things just are wrong. That sovereign, almighty, powerful King of heaven says to people, I want you to work with me. The one who can do all things, the one who can just with a word of his mouth can change all things. He says to people, come walk with me. The one who doesn't need that is pleased to ask. Ask you to come, be part of that work. See, it's been from the very beginning, that's where it's been. Quite often people have been kicking and screaming into that call of God to actually be involved in the work of the kingdom. Because at times, it's frightening. And yet the key overarching theme that you see in Scripture is, especially as we go from the old zip into the new, is that God has promised to send a Redeemer, covenant work. And He's resolved to go back to plan A, which was to co-work with his creation to bring dominion in this world. And that's who you are. Say to your neighbour, that's who you are. You are. You have been called into that. If you're in Christ, Keith has already told us this morning, there is a gifting upon you. Why is that gifting? So you can go home and look in the mirror and say, look at that. Gifting. No, it's not. It is because he's given you capacities to work in the kingdom. He's called you to co-labor. Now, don't ask me why, but he's called you into co-labor, his pleasure. And so when Rosie speaks this morning and speaks of the healing power of the cross and the healing power of God in her life, listen to the testimony, because it is the prophetic unction of heaven saying this is what happens when God moves in people's lives. See, that's what it is. See, that's why testimony is so good. Because it speaks of what God is really like. It is, as it were, it pulls heaven down so that we can experience, as it were, heaven. I did not get any pineapple cheesecake. I've got no idea what it tastes like. You didn't either? We can form a club.
We could.
A club which is No Cheesecake Club. But there is something about every man and woman where God has said, I'm going to put upon them capacity to work in the kingdom. See, when you look at the disciples were swept into an age. I saw a sign yesterday which I thought was lovely. The sign said, if you believe in time travel, meet me here last Thursday at 7 o'clock. And somebody wrote back and said, I was there, but where were you? I like that. But see, when Jesus called the disciples to himself, they were entering into a world that was foreign to them. They suddenly confronted this man, this Jesus, who was at one time exciting and wonderful, and the other time he was scary as whatever. See, when they saw Jesus carry out these miracles where people that were sick were suddenly well, where people who were demonized suddenly were released. Surprise the number of Christians I meet today that are scared stiff of demons. Don't get me into that stuff. And yet here they were confronted by Jesus and they were excited. They so much that they wanted to align themselves with him and say, we're with him. But they were the same people in the boat when the storm about to sink that boat and Jesus came and rescued them. They said, who in the heck is he? Who is this man? And when Jesus went into the temple and turned these tables over and when he actually cleared the temple saying, my Father's house is a house of prayer, I reckon they were hiding behind that wall just over there. Because they were confronted by the fact that Jesus wasn't Jesus meek and mild. He was a warrior king. He was one who's compassionate, who was kind, who was energetic in all he did, but he was also the one whose eye was for justice. And they were swept into that. And that to me means that you and I are swept into the same thing. See, there's a level at which we pray for somebody, we see them healed and we say, isn't it wonderful? Jesus has healed. And it is. But it's also the side of the Christ Jesus that calls you to step into the place where no one else wants to go, to bring justice into that place. Because that is the revelation of Father in Christ. And so here were these men, whimpering on the boat one point, excited at the next point. Suddenly Jesus confronts them and says, guess what? You are co-workers. You're going to run with me today. And it says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, he said he gave them authority and power over sickness and of demons. And he said, go. I think one of the biggest mistakes we made in church is to say to people, you go out there and save them, without giving them the structure into which to work to know how they can bring into that them. I'm going to open that up just a minute. But here were the disciples, they were called to go out two by two. In chapter 10, we find that Jesus in Luke 10, he then calls 70, or if your other versions, you'll read 72 others, and they went out two by two to do the same mission of the king. He didn't go with them. He sent them. He said, you go. If you had been there, you would have said, you go. And they went out two by two. And as they went out, they saw this amazing change in the dynamic of the world they lived in. Because now in the now remember, this is before Pentecost. Remember, this is before the crucifixion. This was at a time when Jesus knew, when he looked at Thomas, he knew what was going to happen. When he looked at Judas, he said, that one will betray me. But he sent them out in the power of his name. And they were walking into this world which was new. They've seen it in Jesus. He taught them, he trained them, he showed them how to do it. As they walked into this world, they were confronted by the reality that they were now working with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when they came back, they asked that question, I think, I don't know who said it this morning, but they asked that supreme question you ask of somebody who knows all things. Jesus, you'd never guess what happened. And they said, even the demons are subjected to us. Even the demons. See, that was a pretty big thing. If you've ever seen anybody that's demon-possessed, you'll understand the dynamic of that. And yet they saw demons subjected to the name of Jesus, as well as healing. I'm sure, as well as other things occurred. Who knows what else they did? We're not told. But this is important. Okay, if you're taking notes, this is a note to take. If you're not taking notes, listen and remember. There are times in Scripture when heaven rejoices that you must take note of. I'll say it again. There are times in Scripture where it shows heaven rejoicing. That must mean something is more than significant. It is that which moves heaven. When Jesus was baptized, what happened? The heavens opened. There was this voice spoke. There was this dynamic of heaven when the Savior was revealed. We need to listen to that. We need to hear something important happened. You and I know it was life-changing. And so here he was, this young baby who nobody knew anything about when Jesus was born. The heavens, the angels joined in. When heaven rejoices, listen. Something happened. See, it says in Luke 15, verse 7, it says this. It says, heaven rejoices when a sinner is saved. So that's significant. When a person comes into Jesus, something occurs in heaven that we can't see with our eyes, but we need by faith to hear what the Scripture says. Something occurs. And so when you came to the kingdom, Jenny, there was something happened in heaven because you said yes to Jesus. Something happened. There was this dynamic. And so whenever you see heaven rejoicing, it's an important event. And so we find in Luke chapter 10, about verse 21, and suddenly Jesus sees his men come back. And they come back with these stories. Jesus, even the demons, they submitted to us in his name, in your name. And it was almost as though the whole dynamic of history was being rolled open. Because Jesus, who had promised the coming, he was promised in Scripture he was coming, but there was a promise that men and women would be freed again to co-labor freely. And the time had come. And it says in Luke chapter 10, I think it's verse 21, where it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, said, I thank you, Father. There is this unison between heaven and earth of rejoicing. Why? Because suddenly men and women have been brought back into their creation order. And so now we have a situation where suddenly you and I are empowered by God to minister into somebody's life so that their life is not only changed, transformed, but they are called into a purpose. And that moves heaven. That causes heaven to rejoice because something, in actual fact, what Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. There was a power shift. There was a change. The dynamic of the heavenly realm had changed because Jesus had come and he said, people released to be who they were meant to be. And so Keith has a question. How has God gifted you? Because you have been called to be a co-worker with the King. See, one of the things we find in the Old Testament is that not only was there a promise of a Redeemer, there was a promise that men and women who had lost that capacity, as it were, to rule and reign, they would be restored in a remarkable way. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, a day is coming when the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. Put up your hand if you're all flesh. Well, thank goodness you are. Any dogs in here today? No dogs. What's going on? All flesh. And so Peter, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, when the Spirit came, he could stand and he could say, today is the day. Today is the day when Joel's prophetic word that was going to happen has happened. Time has come. Good news, it is your day. Good news, you are now on the winning side. Good news, God has opened the heavens and shone favor on you. Good news, there is reconciliation and restoration if you'll have it from Christ. Good news, you can lead somebody into the kingdom and see them grow into the kingdom. Good news. It's one thing to bring forth natural children into this world when you see a person standing in the King, in the kingdom, and they stand and you see others coming into the kingdom. Hallelujah. It's like that throwing a rock into a pond and you see a ripple going out. You bring a person into Jesus, they throw the rock out and you see suddenly that grows. And here is Jesus. Sorry, here is Peter saying, today is the day. Would you turn with me to Acts chapter 2? As somebody else says, let's make it legal and read some scripture. Acts chapter 2. Because this is where it gets really interesting. Gee, I'm glad I didn't make any notes today. I'm already up to the conclusion. What time is it? Oh, that's all right. Acts chapter 2, verse. Let's start around about verse. You know the story, don't you? Everybody knows this story? Put your hand up if you don't know the story. Everybody knows it. Let's go down to verse, I think it's 16, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'll take my glasses off. 16. In these last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That is a promise. Either a God is true or he's a liar. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Going to 17. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, that's either true or false. That means there is something birthed in you that you have a prophetic language that you bring into this world. Who was it that prayed this morning that we'd have an influence on the world out there? I don't know who it was. There's been so much stuff prayed that I thought, oh, I'm going to preach that. Oh, I'm going to preach that. Go away, stop speaking, Keith. I wanted to speak about that. There is something about the dynamic of God that the sons and daughters will prophesy. You say that women shouldn't minister in the church. It says here that sons and daughters will prophesy. Got a problem here. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. There is something here that I need to ask you. If this is true, then deep in your heart, there is a God dream. In here, somewhere, there is a God dream. If there's not, I'm going to pray that you'll have one. Because it's saying that you and I will have dreams of what is possible. You'll have visions of what is possible. Because the King has come. And he's brought restitution and reconciliation into people's lives. He has come. Can I ask you, what is your dream? See, when the Spirit comes, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just gifts. We want gifts. It's not just fruit. We need fruit. But it is this sense where people are open up with a desire of what is possible in the kingdom. And that's exactly right. Somebody's talking to me.
No, it's auditory.
Oh, don't you like this modern technology? It talks to you. Sit on it. Just get rid of it. That's why we need a wineskin. The leader's been preaching about having this, I can't remember the exact term, but it was something to do with fivefold. Unjealous? Non-jealous? Non-jealous fivefold. Why? Because you've got this wineskin that holds this body of people with dreams and visions and desires in the kingdom. If I went around here and I asked you, what is your God dream? Some of you will say, I've got no idea. Some will say, I just have this heart to do this. Some of you expressed it to me already. I've heard you speak about it. And you said, I just love this to happen. It's a dream. It's a God dream. It's a vision that God has put in your heart. And when we've been praying for renewal, we've been praying, Holy Spirit, come. The Spirit of God has already come, true? So don't ask for what you've already got. Ah, but there's more. There's greater outpouring. And when the Spirit of God comes, when he comes into this place, which he will ignite people like torches that are burning and are on fire. And you'll find there'll be people popping all over the place. I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. You realize many of the things that have been done in history when the Spirit of God has come in power and taken hold of people. We got hospitals. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We got orphanages. I remember Leslie's dad used to actually, and this was him, this is what God gave to him. Leslie's dad didn't insure his business from storm damage and all those sorts of things. But instead he gave his money straight to the Muller orphanages. There's godly heritage there, isn't there, sweetie? See, the last major outpouring that occurred in Toronto, there was a woman that was birthed there for mission. Her name was Heidi Baker. She was burst on the floor there. She was on the floor for days. She couldn't get up. And God did something in her, gave her a vision of what is possible. When God visits his people, when his spirit is poured out, he gives into you, into your heart. I just want to do that. That's where I want to be for God. And as a preacher, as a leader, as a pastor in a church, we have to be so careful to say to people, go out and do it, Keith, without putting a framework for them to work from. Let me give you an illustration. I got a prop. I got a prop. How about that? Hey, I got a prop.
It's only a little one.
And the prop is used for hitting people. See, when you look at the wineskin of this group of leaders, their servant leaders, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, they're servants for the kingdom to do a very specific thing. What is it? To equip you. I'd like you to look at my arrow. No. I want you to hear vision. That is an arrow. See, there are some of you here able to take that and to sharpen the point so it's got accuracy to be able to stick into an object. See, there's some of you here are saying to me, Ray, there's so many rabbits down at Chitterway, we need to go and shoot them and get rid of them.
Oh, no.
They're the evangelists. So we've got somebody who says, look at all the splinters on the side. If we actually use that as a... You took my photo, didn't you? If we use that as an arrow, we're going to end up with people getting splinters in. Little bunny rabbits will get splinters when they get shot. That's not good. And we'll have people that will smooth off that piece of wood. We've got some people that are master craftsmen. They're actually going to put some little feathers in the buck there. So when can you see my arrow yet? Because when it's being shot, it's actually going to have direction. It's going to hold it true. See, that's what the body of Christ does to raw lumps of timber like you and me. Because the leader, the apostle, the one with the vision says, this is what we're going to do with this arrow. We're going to shoot it into this community and make a difference. So we got the pastor, the teachers that come up and they see all those splinters and they say, well, you've got some unforgiveness and you've got some real hurts there. You've really got some issues that need to be resolved. Let's just sand those down in the spirit. So you've got the evangelist sitting there saying, get out there and save them. Get out there and save them. Get out there and save them. Get it. And by the time they've done that, you're feeling so guilty. Then you've got the prophet who stands up and says, this arrow is going to be straight and true and it's going to actually find its mark. See, God has given you dreams of what is possible in the kingdom. And he provides a structure so that you can be taken and you can be prepared for that, to achieve that dream. A couple of years ago, as you remember, I went to India. It was before I was here at this church. I went to India and I came back and I was sick for 18 months. And I think Leslie and I, Leslie, said to me, you're not going back to India. That's it. You're not going back to India. Something like that, wasn't it? I think it was, may have been a bit more, might be more vigorous in the terminology, but I think it was very much not going back to India. Not doing that again. And Leslie and I went up with a group of other people to a church. You guys know the guy that used to be there, Mick, I think it was, up at Cardiff South. And we went to this church and they had a guest speaker. Here was Ray. He's not allowed to go on mission anymore. Leslie told me so. And this Mick, who I've never seen before in my life, never will see most probably again in my life, and he stood up and he came up to me and said, mission's all over you. The prophet, the pastor, grows the people of God because you've been called with a dream to do something. And see, the good thing is we're not all the same. And see, you have a dream. See, the leaders are up here preaching. We need to reach the community. You've got the evangelist poking you in the side saying, you need to get out there and save those people. And you just like to sit at home and paint. You're just much nicer sitting at home making Christmas cards. You'd rather be at home just composing some music. You've had some issues in your life and you go to church, you go and you have the teacher and the pastor, they love on you, but they actually bring healing into your life. So that when somebody pushes one of your buttons, there's not this sudden frothing of the mouth. You are okay. They speak into your life in those areas of hurts and they tell you how significant, how influential you are in the kingdom of God. They assure you, you are loved by Father in heaven, and regardless of what anybody has done or says, the Father's love will never stop. And suddenly you find there's healing coming to your body and you sit at home with your paints. And then one night you're in bed and the Lord puts this picture in your mind of you painting something that is so full of light and life. And when people look at it, they say, who is the creator who made this world? And you walk into church and there's this crazy prophet. And this prophet comes up and he says, she says, I just feel as though God is saying this to you. I just had a picture of you. You're painting. Does that make sense? And not only were you painting, but you were painting something that was full of life and vigor and health, so that when people saw that painting, all they wanted to do was to find out about this Jesus. And suddenly the whole of the body has come together to equip you for service. What is your dream for the kingdom? Maybe it's to see kids healed up that have been hurt terribly in this world. This Heidi Baker we talked about, her dream, she saw on the news about all the stranded people in Mozambique. She saw they were stranded as a result of the wars. And the dream that sprung up within her, the gut that came up within her is, I have to go there and rescue. And she was at a conference in Toronto and she was laying on the floor. God was ministering to her and this guy came up with a bottle of water and poured it all over her. And he said, there's going to be a flood as a result of the flood. Millions are going to come to Jesus. And a ministry started with power from that moment on. Time is gone, but I can ask you this question. What is your God dream? Is it to dance? That's yours, is it? Maybe your God dream is to run a business where that business is so creatively successful that you can pour money into the work of the kingdom. That's your dream. And by doing that, you do more than standing on the street corner trying to preach about Jesus, because that's not what you've been called to do. Maybe your dream is to get women together and to bring health into their lives so they can independent of you stand up and say, I know my Jesus, he lives. What is your dream? Because it says this in Isaiah 60 and verse 1, arise and shine because your light has come and the glory of the Lord has rested upon you. Whoopee, I got it out. I feel better now, it's gone. So there's musicians here that want to write music that's just going to inspire and to draw people into the kingdom. Some of you have spoken to you just love to be able to get people together in the community. Have something to eat with them. Share their life and tell them about Jesus. Can I say you're in the right place for that bit of wood to be slowly worked into be an arrow that is extremely effective. But in doing that, the wineskin is being built. And a time will come when the firefall will speak into your life in such a dynamic way that you will live your dream and the dream that God's put on you. Is it okay if we pray that? Make sense to you? Good. Everybody still like me a little bit? See, I've got a problem with identity and acceptance. You can see that right now. Rejection's a real issue. Father, the word tells us clearly that when your spirit comes, you give to your people dreams, visions, prophetic words of what is possible. Father, the people sitting in front of me, they're your people. They're your children. Father, we thank you for the leadership in this church. We ask that you bless them with wisdom to know how to grow this wineskin. But my Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus, you would just release just more and more of that dream and the vision of the King of Heaven, that God dream, that picture, that vision that you put within their spirit, you cause it to erupt in power and grace. And they would know that. So for each one here, Lord, I just ask for the night hours, dreams and visions. Nice dreams, nice visions of the kingdom and what is possible in him. I'm sure if you'd like to have somebody pray specifically into your life, you'll have people up here at 100 miles an hour to pray with you and to bless you in that. So if you'd like to step more into what is possible for me, or maybe you would like a bit of a touch of that healing that we heard Margaret talk about, we heard Rosie talk about, you'd like more of that, come and get some prayer. That's really good. I can see the wonderful Julie up there and Peter have got some nice food for us to eat. Is that right? No, it's not you. That's her. Okay. Some lovely drinks to drink. So while you're having fellowship, bless you. But
thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.